Welcome to the Vancouver Tech Podcast. My name is Drew Ogryzik, and we're here with our special co-host today.
Alex Moxon. Hi.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for joining us. Awesome. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Maybe start with your current employment.
Sure. So I'm currently Business Development Manager for AdaptTech Solutions. We believe in solving problems, and we build things right. Typically, we build event-sourced microservices and microsystems.
So what does that mean, to do things right?
To do things right. So we actually take the time and involve the business. And we solve business problems. So instead of throwing it over to the tech side and leaving it up to the tech folks to figure things out, we actually involve the business from the start so that we're solving real-world problems. So we're able to pivot as well very quickly.
Something I noticed in development that seems to be an ongoing trend, I guess. The more experience that I get, the more I realize that a lot of the problems to be solved with hardware, or sorry, with software, are not code, not coding problems per se, but rather communicating business needs to developers and developer needs to business, and kind of being able to balance that. Things like, I think some of the principles of DDD that resonated really well with me were the ubiquitous language, things along those lines. And hearing about them sounds great, but how do you actually put them into practice? That's kind of something I think that is much more of a challenge. It's one of those easier said than done type things. So what's your role as business development manager, and how does AdaptTech help to actually do those things, put the right practices in place?
Sure. So I think one of the things that we do is we start with the business from the beginning. So we try to make sure that we're talking with the right people who make the right decisions, who are actually the decision makers, and can influence. So we want to be talking to CTOs. We want to be talking to project managers, product owners, anybody within the business who can make a decision about a product or about a solution, and can really champion the idea. So the big thing that we do is we build it from scratch and we stick with our principles. So we get it right the first time, and then it's very easy to code. When you look at, so we start with event storming is our beginning piece. So we'll go in and meet with the business.
So what's event storming?
So event storming is, it's interesting. It's like brainstorming, but you're starting from the end and you're working backwards. So you've got a specific goal. So one of the things we've built is reservation booking software. So you want to have a room booked. So that's your end goal. So before that, there's a whole bunch of other events that need to be in place. So we make sure that we identify what those are. And if you want to, one of the good things about event storming is you can see scope up front. So that's one of the biggest challenges. I come from a background of project management, and figuring out scope can totally sink your project. If you add a little bit of scope here, your margins and everything just goes haywire. So it's bad. So knowing your scope from the start really helps a lot. So that's one of the advantages of event storming, is you can see the discrete events. If you add in something like a rewards program, you can see all the different areas that it hits all of a sudden, and then you can get a sense of what the scope is like. So for the business, that's really eye-opening, because it's not thrown over the fence to a developer to come up with a ballpark estimate that really doesn't have any grounding.
So what do you mean by that, is not thrown over the fence? How is this different, and how does this involve business and developers in
the
process?
Sure. So one of the things we do with event storming is we make sure that we have a good mix of business development and technical people in the room. So we're all working together on the same solution. The communication is open. Everything's understood. And we don't start development until we have agreement on what it is we're actually building. So that's one of the big pieces. And again, a gold standard in project management is communication. So you've got, in this case with event storming, you've got co-located people, which is also a gold standard for project management, to make sure that everything goes smoothly. So people in the room versus people, having the right people in the room, talking about the right solution goes a long way.
So that sounds like one of the bigger problems in software development is bringing management and developers together, kind of business, the business side and the software side, and kind of making things make sense and smoothing things out. And it sounds like a pretty interesting place to be interesting types of problems to be solving. Now you come at this, so you're a business development manager now with Adaptech, and you come with experience in project management, project ownership, and development.
Not so much, but I'm learning. I'm learning to code.
Oh wow, really cool. So how's that going? What's the process like of learning to code?
I have a GitHub account right now.
Nice. That's a really good place to start it.
Yes. No, it's a new process that maybe we can talk about in the coming weeks. But.
Yeah, that sounds really awesome. I remember a few years ago, I can remember signing up for GitHub and not really knowing what it was at all. And I think I was working in tech support and kind of trying to pick up development as well. So I'd be reading through PHP books, and I, for some reason, PHP was my, oh, I guess because that was what we were developing at the place I worked, and so that was my kind of end all be all. Mm-hmm. I've got to learn how to program in PHP, and so I'd go to Starbucks kind of every day and be reading through all these books and try and figure things out. Sometimes things made sense, sometimes they didn't. But I remember pairing up with one person. We were trying to write an extension for Chrome that would give you syntax highlighting when viewing like PHP source files or something. I don't even remember now, but we tried to use GitHub to pair up with that. And that was just, we were actually using SVN, not Git, at work. Mm-hmm. And we kind of saw GitHub and Git as the same thing. So a lot of learning went on at that time.
That's the best way to learn. Typically, for my process is I completely screw something up the first time, and then I knock it out of the park the next.
Nice. That's really cool. Yeah, I like doing things like that, like having kind of throwaway projects to learn. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something about development in general that I really like is the identifying a problem, failing at solving it, mm-hmm. and then solving it, and kind of expecting to fail and being okay with that. I think that's a really big lesson to learn in life, in kind of all things. I remember growing up with the kind of attitude, I think that, you know, if at first you don't succeed, try something else that you can do. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's a very good attitude. What do you think?
I think you learn a lot from your failures. Mm-hmm. I mean, you definitely know the boundaries of what's possible and what's not, which mm-hmm. is great. It's like applying the scientific method to life.
Right.
So I like that.
Awesome. Okay. So I'm really excited to have you as a co-host, Alex, and hopefully we'll have a lot of fun with this.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Drew.
And it's time for meetups around town. All right. So so we have a pretty interesting week coming up, but let's talk a bit about the past week. Did you make it out to anything, Alex?
I did. I made it out to the DDD CQRS ES meetup, which I go to every week and have since pretty much the inception of them starting.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's actually where we met for the first time. I really love that meetup. It's one of my favorite meetups, and I really, I should be there every time, and sometimes I'm not. And I justify it with, oh, I'm really busy at work, which is probably the worst excuse ever to meet one of the, or to miss one of the best meetups, especially when something I found, like, there's literally value in that meetup that can help you at work. And I guess we touched upon it a little bit earlier, but about like the event storming and or event sourcing and event storming sessions, and how that can really help to I guess, organize the project in many different ways. One of the projects I was working on, I actually went there and we did an event storming session. And the next day I was able to build out the API based on that. And I think I saved, not only did I save a lot of time like upfront, mm-hmm. but it also probably made it a much better API in the end, quote unquote, because it's never going to finish. It's never really done, right? Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's great. Well, one of the things we started doing is a 3-week session. So we'll do an event storming session for a particular product. Mm-hmm. And the next couple of weeks we'll code. So we'll actually have something built. One of the things that we built was Salesforce, which is a version of Salesforce. So that's up and running.
Like a Salesforce. Sounds pretty funny. Yeah, I remember we were talking a little bit about maybe trying to do all of that in one session. And I guess with some topics, you know, a couple hours just isn't enough to really go over a topic, introduce it, do mm-hmm. the advanced storming, and code it out, right?
Exactly.
So 3 weeks kind of makes sense. So what was the reasoning behind 3 weeks?
I think we wanted to really focus on the event storming at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So typically we have some new people, so we like to explain the whole concept with them. And then we involve everybody. We actually group brainstorm, event storm. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we have a good idea. We'll usually review the next session, what we did the previous. Mm-hmm. Then we'll start coding it. Usually it's separated into pair programming. Mm-hmm. And we'll start architecting a solution. And then we'll finalize things over the next couple of weeks.
Very cool. And so I've noticed Robert Reppel is quite involved in that, often giving talks. Is he always the one leading it? Or
It's between Robert and Adam. Mm-hmm. We have another Robert as well, Robert Zlotek. Mm-hmm. He is, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. I'm probably not. it's between the three. Them and I'm part of it as well, but I haven't led anything yet with it.
Okay, well, looking forward to when you do lead one. It's a really interesting and really good meetup, I think. I haven't fully implemented CQRS or DDD into my day-to-day. Mm-hmm. And I haven't worked in a company where everyone's doing that. I'd really like to someday. And it does seem really awesome. And just what I do know and what I have used from what I've learned there has been invaluable so far.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. And what else? What other meetups do you usually go to or do you?
It depends. There's a social night. This is the last Monday that mm-hmm. I typically go to.
Yep.
And then the
Hacker
first
Nest?
Tuesday. Hacker Nest. Yes. Which is your meetup,
which one,
right?
Is that? Yeah.
Yeah, some guy runs that. I forget his name. Anyway.
I'm not sure.
And then the first Tuesday is another one that I typically go to. Mm-hmm. I also go to, there's a futurist one that I'm going to this upcoming week, mm-hmm. Which is a newer meetup.
Yep.
It's hosted by a friend of mine, Nicholas Badminton. Mm-hmm. I also go to the product managers meetup. So those are typically the meetups I'll go to.
That sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I've been, I'd like to say I've been slacking a lot lately, just working at work and not going out to some of these awesome meetups. So I didn't make it out to anything. So let's take a look at the upcoming week. So we're starting out with Monday the 17th. Mm-hmm. So we've got the GitHelp and Zero Tech meetup, and that's happening over at Decontrol, which is 436 West Pender. So Decontrol has kind of rebranded from Decentral to Decontrol, and I guess that's it's an interesting move, I think, from I think Decentral came from the movement of decentralizing currency, mm-hmm. And thus decentralizing power, whereas Decontrol is like, let's take control away, let's decentralize control. So that's more powerful, I think, or more impactful of a message there. Have you been to the GitHelp and Zero Tech meetup?
I haven't.
Oh, okay, interesting. That's one I have been to that I like a lot. I think my favorite time there was not really doing too much Zero Tech or GitHelp-y, but with, I think, Peter Pickerton, and I went over some Bash scripts and kind of talked them out, and that was pretty fun. Then we've got, from 5:30, also at Decontrol, Vancouver Rust. So this one's making a resurgence, which is awesome. Paul, who you may know.
I know Paul.
Is leading this one, so that should be really awesome. I hope to make it out to that. That's at 5:30 at Decontrol. Make sure to bring a laptop to that. Rust's really easy to get up and running with. Are you familiar with Rust at all?
I'm not. Not yet.
So Rust is actually, it's kind of interesting. You mentioned before that you were, you're starting to kind of learn software development. Mm-hmm. And so usually I think when people are in that situation, one of the big questions is, you know, what language should I learn? What should I start with? And it seems like a really big and important question, I think, up front. And I think after a couple of years in development, you'll realize maybe it's not super important where you started. It's more the concepts that you learn. But on the other hand, maybe it kind of is. So what have you been starting with?
Good question. I know it was some HTML and some CSS, mm-hmm. but that's something I need to determine.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. I think HTML and CSS is a really good starting point because mm-hmm. it's something visual. It's something you can kind of, you get kind of immediate feedback from. So you make a little change and you see something actually. So it makes sense. That's what I started with as well.
Nice.
I think a lot of people these days do start with something like that, and then move into maybe a web development language like, and usually a scripting language like JavaScript kind of makes sense, mm-hmm. or PHP, maybe Ruby or Python. And so we often look at like the qualities of the language and say, you know, maybe this language is a little bit kind of user-friendly. And I think that's kind of odd to say about something like JavaScript, but we do think like that. And then other languages like Rust, where it's a compiled language, maybe it's a lower-level systems capable language, it seems like something with more difficult concepts like C and, you know, memory pointers that require some maybe more understanding about your computer's architecture and things like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas Rust, I think, also has this really interesting thing of it has a great community behind it. It has really good documentation. It has a lot of people who are kind of sick of the angry nerds with their hate faces on when you're like, oh, well, what's a memory pointer? Like, oh, shut up. Don't even talk to me. Why didn't you read the manual? Things like that, that just really turn people off of languages and programming. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you've never encountered that. But
no, I haven't.
Awesome. But I think Rust is really cool. And I think any level, no matter what you're at, this would be a great meetup.
Awesome.
All right. And then this looked pretty cool. We've got at from 6 to 8, Vancouver Hackspace has a meetup. And this is Learn Computer Programming with Python. So this one is currently fully subscribed, so I don't know if there's even much point in mentioning it here, but I thought I would because I thought if they're doing it this one time, they might do it again in the future. Mm-hmm. And so this is like, I think it's like a 10-week, 10-evening class. It's like for Vancouver Hackspace members, it's $40. For non-Vancouver Hackspace members, it's $80 for all 10. And this is a Learn Computer Programming with Python. So I thought that was really cool. It's really nice that people are doing something like that. And yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. That's over at number 104, 1715 Cook Street from 6 to 8. And if you are going, definitely bring a laptop to something like that. So then there's this other one we've got, and I see it's kind of triple cross post, and only one of the meetups say cross post, but it's the machine learning meetup, the data science meetup, and the learn data science meetup. They're having a really interesting looking evening on Monday at Unbounce, which is the fourth floor on 401 West Georgia. Have you been there before?
I have. I went to the Unbounce open house a few months back. It's mm-hmm. a really great space.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I think if I were a company and I wanted to engage with the community, that's the type of space I'd want to have. It's mm-hmm. really good, and it's great for meetups. So you can probably accommodate a couple hundred people pretty comfortably in there for this one. And this looks like a really interesting meetup as well. So have you been to any of the machine learning data science, learn data science meetups?
Not yet, but I'd like to start going out to more of them.
Mm-hmm. I went to one also at Unbounce, and it was, I can't remember what the topic was, but there was, I think it was like maybe AI or some sort of machine learning. And somebody from Hootsuite was showing some machine learning, I think, with Scala. And another person was showing an AI with Scala as well.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. But this one is Learning Algorithms for Machine Learning on Big Data. It sounds really interesting. And it does say something like Mark Schmidt, a professor at UBC, whose focus is on machine learning, numerical optimization, probabilistic graphical models, and causality, will be giving a presentation. So the doors open at 6:30, presentation from 7, and then 8:15 off to nearby restaurant, food, drinks, and breakout discussions. So I wouldn't worry about bringing a laptop to this. You might want one to take notes, but it looks like it's going to be more of a talk-based one, and it should be a lot of fun. And then we've got one more. The Vancouver Linux Users Group is happening at 7 p.m. It's over at SFU Harbor Center, 515 Hastings. Have you ever been to this one?
I'm trying to remember if I have. I think.
I've never been to it. But this is the, I've never actually been to this. This is one of the Linux meetups that okay. Adam's not involved in.
Yes. So I've not been to this one.
Okay. So it looks like they have, every month, they have like a general meeting to discuss their stuff. But it does look like this time, the theme this month is security, and there's a presenter, Mark Fenton, and the topic is a story about Bob and his company, the Small Widget Company.
Huh.
So it sounds pretty interesting. And Mark's a former 28-year member of the Vancouver Police Department and spent the last 11 years as an open-source investigator assigned to the Technological Crime Unit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that sounds like a really cool background.
That's a very interesting
and
background.
And if you want to talk or hear somebody give a talk about security, then I think this is going to be a good one. Wow. Okay. That looks really cool.
Nice.
So that's Monday at 7. I also wouldn't worry too much about bringing a laptop to that. It looks like more of a presentation. And that rounds out our Monday, which looks like a lot is happening.
There's a lot happening for Monday.
Unlike a lot of the rest of the week. So Tuesday, but we've got some good stuff. So Tuesday, we've got two meetups that look really cool to go to at two different places, both of them at software developer boot camps.
Nice.
Yeah. So you've got the PHP meetup, PHP Vancouver. That's going to be over at Red Academy. That's the second floor, 1490 West Broadway. So right on Broadway and Granville there. I think it's right above the McDonald's or the Blends.
Okay.
And that, you may know the host. It's James Doyle, I believe.
Yep.
Not sure if I've met that person, but no, just kidding.
I see him around. I forget exactly where from.
So him, and there's a co-organizer, Arthur, and... So I've been to this, I think the first one that they were running together, I went to, and it was really awesome. I don't really use PHP very often or at all much, but I still thought there were some really good takeaways. So even if you, whether you're a PHP developer or not, maybe preferably if you are, but even if not, I think there's still some takeaways from that that are worthwhile. And then there's the there's also at 6 p.m. over at CodeCore, which is 142 West Hastings, there's a Vancouver Clojure meetup. Have you been to that?
I haven't.
I think that would be a really good meetup to go to as well, to learn a little bit about Clojure, how it works, and maybe talk to some people that are using it to get an idea of why and how you might want to use it. Mm-hmm. Or if you're already using Clojure and you want to hack on something or talk with like-minded people, mm-hmm. that might be the meetup to go to. Was there anything else on Tuesday?
There was something else, but it looks like it's been canceled. The Vancouver Digital Project Managers Group, which is a group I've been to for a long time, they have some really cool upcoming meetups. They have one a month. Thought there was one for this Tuesday, but mm-hmm. doesn't appear to be anything.
Really? What kind of stuff do they usually talk about?
Well, anything to deal with projects and in the digital space. So we... what do we talk about? Ways that we can work with development better, ways we can develop projects better. Ways we can figure out requirements, project pains and things like that, communication issues. So we usually have some pretty good speakers.
Nice. Yeah, that sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe worth going out to. But canceled this week.
I think so. It appears to be.
Okay.
Hopefully we can post something about that after.
Nice. All right, let's look at Wednesday the 19th. So we've got Vancouver Linux desktop meeting. Meetup, from 4:30 to 6:30. This is also over at Decontrol, 436 mm-hmm. West Pender. Definitely bring a laptop or computer. You could probably bring your desktop. There's maybe enough space there, but might be a little uncomfortable. I have gone to this one a long time ago, and I think I just ran like elementary OS off of a USB key on my MacBook.
Thanks.
Yeah. Have you been to that one?
I don't believe I have.
Nice. Linux is a lot of fun, and I think that's a great group.
Actually, I think I have. I've been to one where there's a talk. We did a talk at Unbounce. I can't recall if that was the Monday or the Wednesday, because there's so many meetups, but yeah. It was a really good one.
Nice. Okay, and then there's the Pluralsight Study Group over at PNI Digital Offices, which is 100-425 Carroll Street, from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. So it looks like the topic for this one is to be discussed or to be disclosed. And so if you've got a Pluralsight account and a laptop, go on by at 5:30 and maybe be part of the discussion or start studying something cool. It does look like they have a really cool development team. We had their lead developer on a couple of episodes ago, so maybe you can check that out. And it seems like they got a really good culture as far as learning goes, as far as development. And this study group seems really cool. And that's Wednesday.
Awesome.
So then we've got Thursday. So tell us about the first meetup on Thursday.
Sure. So the DDD CQRS ES Practitioners Group. That's probably one of the better meetups around town.
Probably one of the better. That is an awesome meetup. Yeah, it's one of the best. I'd say this is It's a meetup worth missing work for, but they did change the time from 4:30 to 5 now.
Yes.
So it's 5 to 7. It's only 2 hours, by the way. No wonder now it has to go over 3 weeks. So what's the current 3 week talking about?
Right now we're building a product for Shred. Mm-hmm. So we are going into our closing week. So not this week, but the following week, we'll start up a new event storming session. And we haven't developed a product for that yet or determined what will be event storming. So if you've got some ideas, come out to our meetup and bring your ideas. One of the things we'd like to do is bring more business people out. So if you're a product owner or a project manager or a development manager, somebody who's able to talk more about what the business needs, we'd love to have you come out to our meetup. And the very first one is a good one because you can see what event storming is like, and you can see how that could be translated to your business.
Very cool. Yeah, I was actually just talking with Robert the other day about a Vancouver tech meetup, and he's going to be giving a workshop using an event store. So we wanted to design something that would be, you know, fit within a couple hour period where you can maybe introduce something for a half hour and then have people hack on something together. And this was a good way to actually introduce and start using event stores. And so I think that's something I'm really looking forward to. That's going to be happening in about a month. So we'll talk about that later. But
cool.
And then we've got this from 5 p.m. The Analytics Club Vancouver is having a meetup as well. So I'm really hesitant to add this needs a location because I have no idea where this is. It says Analytics Club Vancouver, but is this going to be in Richmond or in North Vancouver or maybe, you know, in Abbotsford? I don't know.
It's a surprise location.
Hopefully it's somewhere within the downtown area. So then we've got the Learn Data Science. This is always a really cool meetup from 6 to 8 p.m. And this one is the Kaggle competitions. So diabetic retinopathy detection. Wow, that looks really interesting. So this is usually like machine learning or data science type stuff. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Kaggle competitions. I'm not.
I'm not either.
But I think there's a list of different things that companies can post with prizes. And you have a certain amount of time, so like maybe 6 months, and whoever wins might get the prize. But it's also something that's worth, like, really interesting problems that people really have that are worth trying to solve, and then maybe seeing other people's ideas. So this is like a Learn Data Science, a great group to go to if you're interested in doing just that.
Sounds great.
Mm-hmm. And then the Vancouver Web Design Meetup on Thursday at 6:30 p.m., this looks pretty cool as well, and it does also need a location. So if you're listening to this and they don't have a location yet, maybe reach out to them if you have one to give. There's an update. We're very sorry to announce that our next web design meetup is canceled. So disregard what I've just said. And that's it for Thursday.
All right.
So doesn't look like much is happening on Friday. Do you know of anything?
I don't know of anything around town, no.
Yeah.
It's probably some good concerts, though.
Probably. Yeah, it's not too uncommon to have no tech events on a Friday night. But Saturday, we've got kind of a lot going on. So there's the Windows Platform Developer Group is having a whole day, like 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Looks like a Xamarin hackathon or something. It says Xamarin Dev Day Vancouver. We're back with Xamarin, this time a full-day workshop on Xamarin. At the end of the day, you will have built your own multi-platform Xamarin app, support Android, iOS, and UWP on Windows and Windows Mobile. So this sounds pretty awesome. There was registration, and it is closed. However, there's a waiting list. So go ahead and get on that waiting list if it's something you're interested in, and hopefully a spot comes up for you. And then there's also the Full Indie Summit from 9:30 a.m. to 10 p.m. This is over at the Vancouver Playhouse, 600 Hamilton Street. And this looks pretty awesome as well. It does require a ticket. And it says it's going to be the monthly event for October as well. But there's a huge speaker lineup. Obviously, if it's a full day event, there's going to be a big speaker lineup. But this just looks amazing. If you're interested in indie gaming at all, that would be the thing to go to. So there's the it's a $35 ticket for the full day.
Nice. It's a good price for a full day event.
Yeah. And they always have like really well organized events as well. Their monthly full indie meetup is usually great. This is just going to be amazing. And it looks like that's it for our meetups around town.
All right.
right. And we're here today with our special guests, Ian Sim and Mike Klemerevsky of the Android Meetup. Thank you very much for being on the Vancouver Tech Podcast.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome. So I wanted to invite you on the show and talk a little bit about, obviously, about the Android Meetup, motivations for starting it, what it's all about. I've actually only been to one, I think, Android Meetup, and that's where I met you, Mike. I think we went for a beer with Brent after. And there was an interesting thing, like that day has always stood out for me, kind of unrelated to Android, but I thought, this thought crossed my mind, and it was like, here we are, three white males, developers, living pretty good lives, sharing a beer after a meetup. It's just coincidental that we're all white males, right?
Maybe not.
Right. And so that's kind of really stuck with me. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting situation where we're at, and the company that I'm at now, we're currently hiring and we're looking for developers, as is probably every company. And can we say, okay, no more white males? Is that a thing we can do, or can we say? And I mean, that has nothing to do with the Android Vancouver meetup, obviously, but what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's something in my own company. I run a company called Radical IO Technology. Mm-hmm. We do mobile and web stuff and hire developers along those lines. We actively are trying to change the gender imbalance in mm-hmm. technology. Specifically, my co-founder, Brianna Sim, is involved with something called App Camp for Girls. Mm-hmm. And this is a program that teaches app development, iOS app development, to girls age 12 to 14. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty cool thing.
It sounds very cool, yeah. So how do we go about changing that disparity between, you know, male and female developers?
Well, so, I mean, in hiring, we need to understand that there is a bias there. Mm-hmm. And the bias often comes from the way developers sell themselves. When applying for roles, women often are rule followers and mm-hmm. men are not. And because of that, it's unfair. Mm-hmm. So there is a bias built into the situation where the person hiring is essentially unknowingly not getting enough information, and in trying to make the right decision, mm-hmm. may be choosing the wrong person based on having not enough information.
So I've heard that actually before, and I've also something that I hear as a common one is, you know, if I mention something like, well, let's make sure to get more female developers as opposed to male developers, then I'll hear something like, as long as we get the best candidate. And that kind of seems like an automated response to this thing. And then on the other hand, candidates that apply for roles, like we've had, I haven't seen any female developers come in to interview, but we've had several, particularly white male developers. I don't know what to do about that.
Well, I mean, as a company, getting out and saying that you're doing this mm-hmm. Helps because it invites people to apply. Mm-hmm. It's important that people feel like there's the right culture in a company and right. the right amount of, you know, like sometimes safety even comes into it. If mm-hmm. if it's an aggressive culture, then people won't apply.
Right. I've heard that as well, actually, like particularly about where I'm at, that it kind of comes across as a bro culture. You know, where I'm often talking about come by for beers on Friday. And that's something that I particularly like. But maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I shouldn't even talk about that. I don't know. I like having beers on Friday, but that doesn't mean that. Hopefully, it doesn't mean that I'm trying to promote a bro culture.
Well, yeah. So, like, mm-hmm. with the meetup, we've both talked about this, and mm-hmm. In that safety again is an important concern. With meetups, we want to be inclusive. We want to make sure that people are coming and understand that we're trying to provide an environment for learning mm-hmm. and for networking, and that this is inclusive to people at various different levels. Mm-hmm. Beer in an event, when mm-hmm. people know that there is beer in an event, it's good to say that there is going to be beer at an event if there is,
right?
Because that can make an environment unsafe. Mm-hmm. When women go to an event and they're the only woman there, they're going to get hit on by a drunk guy. and they don't want that. They don't want to come to those kind of events. And mm-hmm. so, you know, it's self-inflicting, essentially.
Right. So I guess keeping that type of thing in mind is important for workplace and for meetups yeah. as well. A very important part of that. So getting back to the Android meetup then, how do you promote that sort of Android meetup is a safe place, is sort of good for anybody from all experience levels? Like, what about for me? If I went, actually, I had no experience with developing on Android. Should I have felt comfortable?
Yeah, I think it sort of depends on what kind of event you're coming to as well. We want to sort of gear this meetup group towards sort of technical developers as well as designers, also including potentially students who are looking to get into Android development, mm-hmm. You know, people who are at these code boot camps and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So certain events, you know, we may have presenters that are presenting more introductory topics. So when we sort of are going to, you know, put forth these events with more introduction, we'll sort of let people know that you won't necessarily need to be a full-time senior Android dev to be able to understand these kind of things. But at the same time, we also want to have certain speakers or presenters at points in time who are can be seen as sort of thought leaders, I guess, in the industry, and who are really pushing the envelope for Android. Mm-hmm.
As far as pushing the envelope goes, I thought the meetup that I went to, the Android meetup, was I guess it was Exponent.js, and so the presenter Brent Vatney was talking or asked, I think, how many people have developed Android apps before, and I think almost everybody except me put up their hand, and then how many people have used React before, and I think I was maybe the only one to put up my hand. So that was really an interesting mix of people to see, and I didn't feel overwhelmed. The pace was really good. I thought he kind of expected a level of development as far as, you know, how to write a loop or something, you know, but not really anything beyond that. The structure was all explained, and that was quite interesting, though I wouldn't expect that to be a typical Android meetup because...
That was something sort of unique I'd sort of tried out previous to sort of Ian coming on and joining to sort of help the meetup group out. Mm-hmm. I just thought it would be kind of interesting to put on a more interactive workshop, mm-hmm. Where people could, you know, if they don't want to be at home alone trying to go through a React Native tutorial, they can come in and there's someone there who's actively developed React Native right in front of you sort of teaching it. So, you know, if you have questions, you can ask them. I think it went fairly well. I'd like to try.
I'd say awesome. I think it was a really great meetup.
Yeah, so I'd like to try out that format again in the future.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'd characterize that as a workshop format.
Right.
Yeah. We're talking about a couple of different kinds of formats for different kinds of events. Mm-hmm. So as I've come in, we've kind of rebooted, and the first meetup since then has been a more traditional theater presentation style. In mm-hmm. other words, theater seating sort of thing. And really sharing information from speakers, trying to get decent speakers to come and have a good, entertaining show. We're trying to get to a regular rhythm with the group as well, so that it happens on a regular basis. People can come to expect it, and it becomes more of a community. People come and can talk to friends in the industry, and the camaraderie that comes with that is pretty useful to a number of people. We're also trying to do other kinds of events, you know, so the workshop is one idea there. Mm-hmm. Social type hacking events is useful as well. So, I mean, workshop is kind of like that. You're in a room with other people, you're coming to follow a specific scripted program. But other events, you know, we've had hack nights in the past, but without having a focus to them, mm-hmm. You often have people come and sort of show up, and you've got a bunch of people at desks not talking to one another, and it's useful to actually put a social aspect to that. Mm-hmm. Solve a singular problem. Mm-hmm. Have somebody come with an idea to pitch and other people to help work through that in the span of a couple of hours.
Right. I think one of the things with that is I'm in a similar boat organizing the Vancouver Tech Meetup, and we want to do, you know, workshop style, but get everybody, people in the community, working together on solving problems. And one of the issues, I think, or one of the difficult points with that is trying to come up with problems that are small enough, I guess, that you could solve them within a couple hours.
Yeah, they are. That's one thing I find that is really tricky. Like, I'd previously been putting on sort of hack nights once a month. I've been sort of an organizer of the Android meetup for about a year and a half. It was sort of handed off to me after the previous organizer felt he was a little bit too busy. And my thought was, well, you know, doing anything with this meetup group is probably better than doing nothing. So my like MVP meetup group was just like a once a month hack night.
Right.
So low effort on my part. Sure. Mm-hmm. And I would like to sort of use it as a chance to play around with sort of new areas of like the Android SDK and stuff that I hadn't really tried out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, quite often I found I'd be there for like 2-3 hours and like barely get anything done. So yeah. I think the most interesting thing I did in one night was using like the NFC scanner to scan a credit card and like start the process of being able to like read data from it.
Nice.
But yeah, it's tough to find something that's, I guess, you know, interesting enough for most developers that to solve in a few hours.
Yeah. Well, I've come across like, not related to Android, but are you familiar with a site called Code Wars? CodeWars.com.
No.
So they do small katas, like coding katas that you can solve, or you can create, you can write your tests and have people pass them. And it could be something like some sorting algorithm or something like that. But they support a number of languages. I don't know if there's something like that that exists with Android. Actually, Ian, I wanted to ask you, because I met you about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago now.
Something like that.
And I think you were, you run the iOS meetup as well.
Yeah. Right? So, for a couple of years now, I've been involved with Vidya, which is the iOS equivalent to the Android meetup that we're talking about. So I'm an organizer on both sides of the fence, I guess you could say.
Very cool.
With Vidya, I mean, it's a bit more structured group. There's a number of other organizers in it. It's even a nonprofit organization behind it.
Oh, very cool. So what brings you into Android, the Android meetup?
Personally, I'm actually a little bit more Android-ish when I do development. Funny, he was mentioning NFC. I actually play with that quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I can show you how to read all the information off the credit card. I can actually show it right now. NFC is actually a pretty neat technology area that I'd like to play with more in my business. I'm actually looking towards developing more with transportation uses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at your wallet, for instance, you've got a half dozen radios in your wallet.
Mm-hmm.
Leadline wallets are actually not that goofy.
Right.
They are goofy, but you know, with driver's licenses, passports, compass card, Mobi, all these things are NFC.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of neat technology. But yeah, my own development directions. I do both platforms personally. I'm also on the web side of things. But I gravitate towards Android a little bit more.
So I was going to ask a question. How do you see the future role of native app development, given that cross-platform development, web browsers, and features are getting more powerful? For example, location feature, which used to be built into a native app, is now built into the browser.
Well, with what people call hybrid development, the capabilities of hardware through a browser have always been a little bit behind the native capabilities. So if you're trying to take advantage of something that is brand new hardware, you're either writing your own capability there at a native level on each platform that you're going to use, or you're waiting for a more standardized API to come along. So it depends is the answer. It depends on what you're trying to accomplish, what type of hardware you're trying to interact with. My company does both. Both full native and hybrid. We try to choose the right thing in each case.
What are some of the criteria that you're looking at in determining the right thing?
Well, it's sometimes the culture of the client. you know, if an organization is, they largely employ web-based developers, then that can be a good reason for them to go towards a hybrid approach. Usually it's people trying to go a little bit faster in terms of what they're doing. But at a certain point where you're trying to get into eye candy, like the certain level of polish to what you're doing, mm-hmm. Some types of animations or screen switches, things like that, get harder to do with web views. Mm-hmm. So a native approach often can increase performance and capability. Now, that said, you can do quite a lot with web-based technologies, but in some cases, to do the really fancy stuff, you're going to do more work than you would have done with native.
That's pretty interesting, yeah. So what about other areas like, or other technologies like Xamarin, for example, or React Native? How does that fit into the whole ecosystem?
Well, Xamarin is aimed at a specific set of developers. As an interesting aside, the iOS meetup this past month was at Microsoft. We didn't have them talk about Xamarin for the very reason, which is that the audience in this case are people that are going to be writing Swift and Objective-C, and really that approach is aimed to do it to a different audience.
Right.
It's aimed to people in that have been working with Microsoft technologies. They know the language of C#. So it's really, you know, where are you coming from in each case? Mm-hmm. When you're talking about React Native, you're talking about making an approach that is native capable. In other words, your components are implemented natively, but mm-hmm. It's aimed at a JavaScript developer.
Right.
You know? So it's really what knowledge does the person wanting to accomplish this, or the team that wants to accomplish this, what do they already have, mm-hmm. and where are they trying to get to, and is it a match?
Yeah, I think also with I'm not sure under the hood exactly how Xamarin works, but like with React Native and some of these other sort of JS frameworks that actually build into native apps, you still need someone there to write all these sort of like native the native code bindings. So I don't see like these frameworks killing native development at all. Like, you still need that Android platform in behind, or the iOS platform in behind. And say you want to write some custom functionality for an app, but you're using React Native, you're still going to need a native app developer to go implement this like custom functionality, mm-hmm. even if it's being driven by JavaScript.
So is that the, is that the same as, there's some sometimes subtle, sometimes not so subtle nuances between iOS and Android, just the general feel. I know for me, I've had iPhones in the past, but I've been using Android for quite a while. And if I pick up an iPhone now, it feels very foreign to me. And so I guess if you're using something like React Native, is it going to be the same on both devices, or does it translate?
I think that depends on what your experience you design for in the end. You could design the application to feel and look and behave the same on both platforms, but I think it comes down to a couple different things, like what the end product you're building, like what the goal of it is. I know a lot of designers in the past I've worked with feel very strongly that you should design your product to like look and feel like it should on the OS, right? So, you know, if you pick up your app that you developed with React Native on iOS, iOS developers should know how to interact with it based on iOS conventions. And same thing with Android. It's a choice.
For a while there was a focus on getting your web-based or other types of approaches when you're building an application with those frameworks, that the focus was to make it look like the platform. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's actually the focus much anymore. I think these days that people want to have a specific look to their app. They may sort of pick and choose from each of the platform useful UI elements that they want to use, but they'll probably end up using those on both platforms. Mm-hmm. In some cases, they will use a very smaller specific component because it's much better understood on the specific platform. But I think in most cases, they're actually trying to come up with their own appearance, their own look, and a user experience that's consistent across their product line. So, you know, what that basically says, they get to go their own direction.
You bring up a really interesting point. I wanted to ask, what do you see yourselves more as UX experts or developers?
I'm definitely more of a developer. Okay. I've worked with a lot of people who are more on the UX side, and that's something I'm trying to sort of learn more about and consider a lot more when I'm developing products, is, you know, like, how empathize a little bit with the user more and sort of try and bake that into your end product. But I'm definitely very much more of an engineer still.
Yeah, I'm on the technology side through and through. You know, I've had about 20 years of various different kinds of roles. I spent a lot of years in Java development, and at one point I just figured mobile was the way to go, and that's where I started my company from. I'm a developer at core, but I'm also, you know, I'm founder and CEO of my company, and that kind of means I wear a lot of hats, and I do play the UX hat in some cases, but it's not directly my personality. I think I do know the value in it, and I you know, I'm somewhat capable in a number of hats, but yeah, user experience is incredibly important to most applications, and getting the usage of what you want to do. Most people try to pack too much into an application rather than simplifying it down to a core need, and that's useful from a business perspective, not just you know, from the look and feel of things, but actually getting the right thing done. And technology is really just there to implement those concerns.
Another question related to development. So typically, how's your relationship with back-end developers? What challenges have you found, impacts, and advice to make things go a little bit better?
I found it was kind of interesting, actually. Like, I haven't been doing too much Android development in the past year or so, but back when I was doing a lot more Android development, I went out to... I think it was called DroidCon. It was Android conference in Montreal. And
just
there was
to dive in. Do people still say Droid?
I'm not sure. Sorry. I don't think so. I think Droid's dead.
I don't say it much.
But yeah, so I was at this conference, and a lot of people were talking with different developers, and they'd say stuff like that, and they'd be like, oh, you'd have to go talk to your back-end dev and blah, blah, blah. And I was so shocked that, like, I was like, wait, what? You have a back-end developer to, like, make your APIs, and then you don't do all of that? Like, mm-hmm. What? So I was kind of, I hadn't worked in any, like, big agent, like, app agencies or anything like that. So I was kind of surprised that, like, the back-end developers, there's, like, the back-end, and then the Android front-end development. So, yeah. I don't really have, like... I don't have too much experience with, like, relationships with back-end developers, right? Because, like, we sort of are the back-end developers as well when we do this kind of thing.
I've got a few years on Mike, and I do remember the world being different, in that historically in big Java environments, you'd be very monolithic with servers. Before we got to the current API age, where we've got back-end APIs that are feeding both web and mobile apps equally, we used to do web things where our back-ends were monolithic. You're getting data, you're formatting it, and giving it out. So the API-driven world is much better. And I also kind of figured out a little while back that those big monolithic systems are often really slow when they get really busy, because you get a bunch of things going after common resources, and they just get kind of stuck and big and taking up space. I switched to more of a Node.js based approach for backends and APIs a while back. And essentially the point there is that you're instead trying to be very small. The callback of JavaScript is incredibly useful, because when it goes in after resource, it just says call me and drops. It let go, and the resources are no longer being used. So a really big system is actually not using very much resource unless it's actively doing something. So, you know, performance, making something smaller, you can duplicate that small thing a lot and get a lot of performance out of that and make it much more manageable that way. So, yeah, backends, as Mike is saying, a full stack developer that can code in JavaScript, both as a front end framework, you know, something like React or Angular, and be able to do things with Node, that's incredibly useful. And I like to see people that don't think there's a difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. Just before we run out of time here, I did want to touch upon a couple of things. So firstly, what is your takeaway, sort of what's your motivation for being involved in this meetup? What are you getting out of it? And then on the other hand, why should somebody go to the Android meetup? What would they take away from it? What's kind of the goal in mind there?
Yeah, I guess maybe I'll just go first and then I'll hand it over to Ian for his thoughts. For myself personally, I like going out to these kind of things myself and, you know, meeting people and interacting with people, getting that sort of knowledge exchange, I think helps make a community that wants to be, I guess, you bring people together who want to be better developers and, you know, having better, if you're bettering yourself and bettering your development, you're hopefully building better apps. And I myself as well use the Android platform, so I'd just love to see people out there building better and better apps. So yeah, I just want to help organize these sort of events and, you know, bring out speakers who can inspire Android developers in Vancouver to just build like top quality stuff.
Yeah. We are very cognizant of the fact that people come to learn. They don't come to be sold to. They also come to network and be social. Those are the core things. Now, beyond that, we think that there are probably going to be students coming. We want to encourage people that are just at the very start of their careers. We also want to be able to take people beyond those points too. One of the biggest problems in Vancouver is that we've got a lot of people that have some starting level. Maybe they've gone through a program like a code camp or, you know, like an accelerator kind of program. Or other things, and they're sort of at a junior level. Vancouver needs more intermediate and senior. There's a real shortage of that in town. So really, we also need to cater to other levels a little bit higher up, that make sure that we've got content that both invites people at a junior level and also, you know, lets people experience and explore a little bit deeper at certain points. And you got to have a balance between the two.
Okay, very cool. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to touch upon a lot of really interesting topics that we wanted to, like, you know, Android's role with VR and, you know, where that's going. But if people want to reach out to either of you, what's the best way to get a hold of you and what other meetups might we see you at?
So I take part in a number of web-based meetups. I've been to the Ionic and Angular meetups, for instance. I am an organizer for both Vidya and for the Android meetup. So obviously I'm going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say the best way to start probably get in contact with me is probably just through the meetup group. You can direct message people on there. So I think, I don't know if we can drop a link to the meetup group in the,
absolutely,
in the podcast, but yeah, just yeah, probably through the meetup group.
And my company, Radical IO Technology, is a great place. Radical.io is the website. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I guess just on the note of contacting us, if anyone has any ideas for talks or presentations they want to do, definitely get in touch with either of us. We're awesome. looking for speakers.
Are you on any of the local Slack teams, like the YVR Dev or Van Tech or Vancouver Tech?
I'm not, no.
I am on a number of them, less vocal on them. My co-founder, Brianna, is on. I think she might have actually been talking to you.
I've had some conversations with her.
So, yeah, that's one place.
Okay, well, awesome. Ian Sim and Mike Klemereski, thank you very much for being on the Vancouver Tech Podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Vancouver Tech Podcast.
Check out our website, vancouvertechpodcast.ca.
Rate and subscribe on iTunes. Much appreciated.
You can follow us on Twitter, VanTechPodcast.
Feel free to leave some comments below.
You can also hit us up on the YVR Dev, the Vancouver Tech, the Van Tech Slacks. I'm at James.
And I'm at Drew. Special thanks to Same Room for hooking us up with an integration that allows us to have a cross-team Slack channel, VanDevs.
Do you have a meetup that you want us to plug? Email us, show@vancouvertechpodcast.ca.
Music by A Shell in the Pit from the game Parkitect. See you at one of the meetups
around town.